I'm William Cooper, and you're listening to The Hour of the Time, the only hour that ever was or ever will be. For during this hour, you will decide your future, and thus our collective futures. Ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Swiss America Trading, has been with us through the thick and through the thin. They have backed this program all the way. They believe in our message. Now, if you really are concerned about your family, your loved ones, if you really care about everything that you've worked for all your life, the sum total of your assets, please do something to protect those assets against what's coming in. Please do it now. Call 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Talk to the experts at Swiss America Trading, and they will give you several different ways to protect your assets. Of course, the method you choose is always up to you. But you have an obligation to your family and to yourself to investigate. Call them now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. The first 200 callers will receive Harry Figge's report entitled Tackle the Debt. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. While you're at it, folks, mention my name, William Cooper, and you'll receive a free newsletter on protecting your future. Folks, by protecting your future, you're also protecting the future of this broadcast, The Hour of the Time, and, of course, freedom for the world. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And you'll be glad that you did.
My country is a thee. We the land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountain pride, let freedom. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome Tex Mars back to the Hour of the Time. For those of you who weren't listening last night, we talked about an awful lot of things that all of you need to know. If you missed that hour, the Hour of the Time, make sure that you write for a list of available tapes and order that tape, because it's very important that you hear this from other people and not just from me. Tex, welcome back, and you were right in the middle of a very interesting and very important story when we ran out of time last night. Would you like to continue?
I'd be glad to, Bill, because this is such an important and tragic case, and I think it highlights exactly what you were saying on our previous program as well, about how the New Age and the occult world offers people a virtual banquet, a smorgasbord of various beliefs and things to research and look into, many very fascinating, and yet they can be quite deadly as well. In the end result, spiritually and physically even. You mentioned the breakup of families, for example, the loss of jobs, and some of the things that have happened to New Agers along the path or the journey, as they call it, or their quest. I remember I was mentioning that there was a lady here in Austin, Texas. Shortly after we founded our ministry, and my book had become a number one bestseller, Dark Secrets of the New Age. She read the book and she came to know Jesus Christ. She came to us here, and she began to tell me her story. She had founded the yoga center. Her current interest, you might say, or devotion, was to a Hindu female guru, a woman guru named Guru Maya, who also is the guru for Linda Johnson of, Dynasty fame, as well as, she obviously has Jay-Z Knight of Ramsa, too, but also Don Johnson, the Miami Vice. She had become fascinated and enraptured with this female guru because the lady that I'm talking about had been told of how horrid Christianity was and how it was male-dominated. She was particularly interested in the feminist aspect of Hinduism. She was 34 years of age. This was just a few years ago. 34 years of age, she sat in my office and she began to cry and to tell me about her life in the New Age and the occult world. Listen, folks, you need to understand what happened to this young lady. First of all, she said right out of high school, she joined up. She rebelled against her parents. Her father was a Freemason, by the way, and was a high-ranking official in the Presbyterian Church. She saw through that fake Christianity. And you mentioned the same thing, that some of these people have been hurt from traditional, so-called traditional Christianity, which is not traditional at all.
That's correct.
Young lady had. She had some very overbearing parents, and she had become very rebellious in her own way. So she left, and she even went on board the ship that L. Ron Hubbard had established off the coast of California, and became almost a cyborg, you might say, or a robot of L. Ron Hubbard group, Scientology. Now, that lasted about 2 years, and it made her so unsatisfied and so unfulfilled that she went on to something else. She became a priestess in the Catholic Gnostic Church, and she learned everything that there was to learn there. Then she began to dabble with Satanism, just a little bit, and witchcraft.
Well, Gnosticism is Satanism.
It is, in fact, exactly.
It is the Luciferian philosophy.
That's right. Then this lady, she didn't find happiness there. She didn't find fulfillment, even though her gurus and such and her leaders had told her this is the place to be in the occult world. So she left that, and she went on a journey. She finally ended up with Sun Bear, one of the leaders of the Native American Indian religion community. And, of course, then she began to study the earth worship, and she partook of the peace pipe in the sweat lodges of the Native American Indian religions.
But, before we do something that might isolate some of the good American Indian listeners out there, Sun Bear is not one of the leaders of the American Indian movement at all, or the Native Americans. He is someone who has created a sort of a parody of the American Indian religions in the New Age movement. And if you go to any of his meetings or lectures or anything, you will not find American Indians there anywhere.
Well, that is exactly right, because he's capturing the big bucks.
That's correct.
Of the, you might say, the New Age Anglo community.
Right.
Yeah, so you don't see any minorities there at all. You usually see a very affluent yuppie, upper class or middle class to upper class set of New Agers on their own quest or journeys into the New Age world. And, of course, he's enriched himself quite a bit. She didn't find fulfillment there. She was with Sun Bear. She claimed to have traveled with him extensively for about a year and a half, I believe. Finally, she ended up in Europe. Her knees literally were scarred because she had walked up mountains, literally, toward, sacred pilgrimage sites to worship a certain Hindu guru.
Looking for spiritual enlightenment, looking for God. And, of course, she didn't find it, did she?
She did not find it. And then, finally, she says maybe the answer is feminist power. Since she had been into Hinduism and had gone over to India, she decided to link up with Guru Maya, the new female version, like Sai Baba or Vivekananda, but the female version.
Uh-huh.
And there again, she thought she would get enlightenment. She would become a God woman. But, of course, she did not. She was still more miserable. In fact, she was more miserable than she had ever been. Until finally, one day in her misery, she came across my book. She said she had no idea why she went in a Christian bookstore. She just felt led to go in a Christian bookstore. She had not been in one for years. She thought Christians were totally ridiculous, Bill. Totally uncouth. Unsophisticated.
Well, this is what people are taught, and it's reinforced by television and the movies. You never see a Christian in a movie or on television unless they're made to look utterly ridiculous, bigoted, and stupid, and that's not what Christians are.
That's exactly right. Well, she got a copy of my book, Dark Fiction of the New Age. She said she was fascinated by the cover because it had a woman on the cover. Here again, she was in the feminist mode. Had a woman on the cover, but the woman was sort of a witchy-looking woman with pyramids in the background. In other words, Mystery Babylon or Egypt. And she says, I wonder if this has something to do with the New Age and can teach me something, dark secrets. She didn't realize, of course, it was an expose of the New Age movement.
Mm-hmm.
She got it home and she read it, and it turned her life around because she began to see the connections. Then she began to realize that no matter what New Age or occult group she'd been involved in, it all came back to good old Lucifer. And she was totally humiliated by her stupidity, her ignorance, and she just could not believe that she had wasted some 16 years or so of her life in a number of paths on the New Age.
Well, that's exactly the way I felt when I learned that I had been stupid for most of my life, and I'm sure you felt the same way, and my constant message to my listening audience is unless you can realize how really stupid and misled and ignorant you've been and stand in front of the mirror and admit it to yourself, your life can never be better.
You know, Bill, that is so true. I recall, and I have a confession to make, I actually believed, for example, I guess most Americans did at the time, I thought that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in killing John F. Kennedy. Well, I could not imagine a conspiracy, you see. I mean, I've been a patriotic American. For someone to tell me that the CIA, the FBI, the Mafia, and other groups were working together to kill a president of the United States, I thought that's preposterous.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see now what is going on with the Randy Weaver murder of his wife and his son. What happened in Waco. The things that, Bill, that you and I know about. The things, for example, you exposed, the MJ-12, the UFO cover-up. Those kinds of things, now I realize, 10 years ago, if I had read your book, I would have said, well, I can't believe this. Bill Cooper, he seems very intelligent, but how could he be so insane? He's weird. And I think, in fact, if I had read a book by Tex Mars 10 years ago, I would have said, well, that Tex Mars is some kind of a wacko. I can understand the mental set from the time we're very small. We are told what history is, We're spoon-fed certain things, certain understandings by the media, by the control press and such. And I must confess that I'm even a latecomer on a number of these things, but I'll tell you, over the last, let's say, 6 or 7 years, Bill, I've done my homework to catch up, because I decided, you know the old saying, fool me once, shame on you.
Right.
Fool me once, shame on me. So I'm not going to be fooled again, and I'll tell you, the disinformation that they send our way
is just
absolutely...
It's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming, and it is mind-boggling. And for the average person who just will not get out there and start looking and researching and listening and determining what the truth is and what the lies are, it's no wonder that everybody feels so tired and so drained of energy and so spiritually blank. And they feel like everything's falling apart around them, and they can't see an enemy that's doing it. They don't know what's happening to them, and so they're little by little they're sort of dying inside, and that's exactly what these things are supposed to do to people. They neutralize people so that they can't stand up and be empowered and fight back and save the things that we know should be saved, that are good, that lead to a good life and a good nation and ultimately a good world.
You know, Bill, that is true, and that's very prophetic, too, as well. The Bible says in Revelation 13, and I'm a big believer in Bible prophecy, it talks about this war between the people of God and the Antichrist system, the beast system in the last days. It says that the beast system shall make war with the saints of God and overcome them for a time. And I think what we have to realize in our tiredness, and, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul himself says, he basically told us, don't become tired out in your well-doing. He knew that people fighting evil, the true men and women of God, would become exhausted. And here is where it says that they will make war with the saints and overcome them. What we have to realize, though, if you continue to read in Bible prophecy, you're going to find just a few more chapters in Revelation, that the saints of God overcome the beast. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about a physical struggle that we overcome. I believe that the first century Christian church overcame the beast system of their time, the Roman Empire. Of course, Satan devised other tactics and methods and organizations to try to make a comeback, and he's been very successful over the centuries.
Extremely successful.
Extremely successful. But the Bible says that we are the overcomers. I'm always heartened and encouraged by Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 10, Bill. What it says there is that in the last days, that's in the last days now, it says many of God's people will be tried in the fires and purified by suffering and conflict. And boy, that's sort of scary. And it says something else, though. It says, and the wicked of the world will not understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, that's a promise from God. I am convinced, Bill, that the people listening to this program right now, they didn't tune in because, you know, their fingers hit a little lick and they're at this frequency, or they're not listening to this program for any reason other than that God wanted them to tune in and to listen. And I believe if they're wise, and what does that mean? It simply means, do they have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? Do they have the Holy Spirit inside them to testify whether these things are true? And if they do, I guarantee every person out there, if you are a Christian and you will ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, then we're told specifically in Daniel chapter 12, verse 10, you will understand what Bill Cooper and Tex Mars are talking about. Now, there are many, Bill, that are not going to understand. They're going to say, this is silly, this is crazy, this can't be. And then the Bible says, though, that the wise, the prudent, see the evil coming before it reaches them, and they take steps. That's what it says in the Bible. They take steps to avoid the evil when they can. But it says the ignorant perish because they don't know about the evil that's overcoming them. So very
my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Perish for lack of knowledge. And regrettably, the Bible says that only the few shall understand. This makes us, in a way, appear as elitist, but all I can say is that's what Jesus said. He says, narrow is the way.
That's correct. You know, a text, it's ever since I started this show, I've made it clear to everyone out there that I am a messenger. I have a message to deliver. I've also made it very clear to people that this is not a religious program. This is a program to awaken and empower people. And I tried to make clear to them that no matter what they believe, whether they're an atheist, whether they're a Christian, whether they're a Muslim, whether they're a Jew, it doesn't make any difference. Whatever they believe, notwithstanding, at the very heart and soul of everything that's happening in the world today are religious events that happened centuries and thousands of years ago. And everybody has to understand this, and we're at the fork of the road, and everyone must choose the right fork or the left fork, and their life for eternity is going to depend upon that choice.
That's right. You know, in our last program, we talked a little bit, for example, about Jews. And I mentioned that, and you did, in fact, very accurately, that the three groups that have been chosen, called out, you might say, to be extinguished, destroyed, in the coming years, are the fundamentalist Christians and the fundamentalist Islamic community and the Orthodox Jews. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I agree with fundamentalist Muslims and Orthodox Jews.
That's correct.
In fact, I know for a fact that many in the Orthodox Jewish community, for example, hate Christians. And they do everything, despitefully so, to harm Christianity. But nevertheless, they do so in great ignorance. And I have sympathy for even these Orthodox Jews and the Orthodox Muslims, because, as you so well stated, they have been chosen to be victims, and I believe in their ignorance of what Christians really are and who God really is. In their ignorance, they are going to join forces. I believe the Orthodox Jews will go along with this beast system in the end. They'll get their temple in Jerusalem and all of those things. They'll be promised. There'll be a very, you might say, a tenuous relationship there, but no doubt... this is already going on. I read that recently that Baron Rothschild has been donating incredible amounts of money to various Orthodox Judaism projects.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things he's done, they just had a new building built for their Supreme Court in the nation of Israel. Now, the interesting thing about this huge, incredible structure is that Mr. Rothschild, and you and I both know he's part of the Illuminati, he and Rockefeller combined, no doubt, are the two richest men in the world. Rothschild, it was stated, gave $15 million toward the building of this. One of the things that he asked for, and they very kindly, I guess you might say, gave him, the Israeli government, he stated that he wanted the library, of the Supreme Court of Israel building to be shaped architecturally in the form of a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that. So they have a library in the shape of a pyramid. And, of course, that's the same thing you find in the United Nations Meditation Room, in the shape of a pyramid lying down. And but here they're taking money from Rothschild over there.
Sure.
And, of course, Rothschild is a Jew, but the fact is that, listen, Rothschild is no friend, believe me, of the Orthodox Jews.
No, Rothschild has no God, doesn't believe in any God other than the God of the, humanism. He believes that man is God.
That's right. But many people say, well, you see, Rothschild's involvement in the Illuminati proves the Jewish conspiracy. Well, of course, it does prove that there are elements among Jews, racially and otherwise, that are part of the conspiracy. But my point is that I believe that Orthodox Judaism, in their ignorance of Christianity, are going to fall right in line with these people. They're going to give them everything they want. And it's going to be an incredible series of events. I'm convinced there will be a tremendous cataclysmic war in the Middle East.
Absolutely. Let me tell you what I believe, Tex. I believe that that Israel is being set up, and that the state of Israel was only created to bring about the fulfillment of prophecy to neutralize large sections of the populace and actually get most of the Christian and the mainstream Christian churches to support the bringing about of the New World Order, because this will help them be with Jesus quicker. So they are propelling us into it. Actually, in their ignorance, they are bringing it about quicker and maybe even more terrible than it might have been if things had transpired without that happening. I believe that Israel will be set up. I believe that as soon as this group comes to power, you have to understand that Jews are one of the lowest percentages of ethnic populations on the face of this earth, and that they will be, in fact, eliminated. I believe that the state of Israel will be completely destroyed, and I think, from my investigations and from talking to some of these people who know, who are on the inside and who no longer even try to hide it, that the New Jerusalem and the New Temple will be built here in the United States of America.
Well, that would be an interesting statement. Of course, we know the Bible says that eventually Jesus will return and he will rebuild the tabernacle himself.
That's correct.
So, you know, the tabernacle, the temple, wherever it will be built, whether in Jerusalem or here,
well, you know,
by human hands, I'm afraid, is going to be used for some very notorious and very sinister purposes.
That's correct. The sacrifice will come back, including human sacrifice. We're looking at some terrible things coming down in the future. I know a lot of people out there are shaking their heads and they're saying that this is absolutely insane. These people are crazy. But and for new listeners, I can understand that. For old listeners, I've given them such a background of information and a product of research, and I've given them books to go look in for themselves. And we've had over 26 hours just on the secret societies and the mystery religion that's bringing this about. And you and I know that this is the old mystery religion of Babylon, the concept that man was held prisoner in the Garden of Eden by an unjust, vindictive God in the chains of ignorance, and he was set free by Lucifer through his agent Satan with the gift of intellect, and by the use of that intellect, man himself will become God. It's the promise of Satan to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden that if they eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, they will be as God, and that God had lied to them. They will not surely die. And right now, I know in laboratories they are working feverishly to protect the genetic engineering to bring about the new super, what they call the root race, who will live forever, will be immortal. They are trying to take the genes out of the genetic strain that caused man to age and die.
Well, of course, there are so many experiments along those lines. And, you know, one of the things, Bill, people need to understand, and I'm always, I'm sort of amused when people say, well, I believe in everything that you say, or Bill Cooper, I understand what you're saying, but I can't go along with Bible prophecy. It's simply because they have not read Bible prophecy for themselves. And, of course, if you're not led by God, you're not going to understand it very much anyway. It will be a bunch of gobbledygook to you.
We've got to take our break, folks. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this very short pause.
Beautiful, for spacious sky, for amber waves of gray, for purple mountain majesty. Above the fruited day,
Because the Bible says that the natural man does not receive the spiritual things of God. And the point I'm trying to make is that as I began to investigate the world conspiracy, I instantly saw the amazing connection. In fact, I'll have to be honest with you, Bill. I do not believe that anyone can truly understand it in all of its aspects and get the big picture unless they first understand the elements of Bible prophecy. And I'm not talking about being a prophecy expert, so-called.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of those guys, they're not always so expert as they seem anyway. But my point is, simply read Revelation, read Daniel, read even the book of James, which talks about a conspiracy of rich men
mm-hmm.
in the last days who will defraud the working man and women and woman, and actually will unjustly kill people. I mean, hey, listen, if you don't look around and see everything from the BCCI scandal to the assassination squads that have been operating in tandem with the KGB, the CIA, and other groups, if you don't understand that there are, according to the Bible, there will be in the last days these rich men, it even says that they'll control the precious metals markets, the silver and the gold. So a lot of people, you want to know where gold's headed? Well, maybe you better start understanding Bible prophecy. People get so into little bitty areas. People ask me this all the time. What's going to happen now with gold, with silver? What's going to happen with the American economy? And, of course, it's not that a person who knows Bible prophecy can micromanage it, but it's simply that you see the trend. You see where things are going.
If you understand what the prophecy is, and if you understand that man has a choice to bring it to pass or not, and if you understand that those bringing into the world the new world order and the new world religion are set on bringing it to pass, and the rest of us have, by and large, abdicated any responsibility in this, it's going to come to pass. And if it comes to pass, we're going to have an economic collapse. If that happens, gold and silver is going to go through the roof. And I'll tell you right now, they're going to open their vaults and flood the world's markets with gold and silver. It will crash. Everybody will sell everything that they've got to try to recoup something. And nobody will be left with anything except those who had the wealth to begin with and the smart people who will not sell their gold and silver when they see this happening.
Well, that's true, because you're going to get down to the brass tacks of tangibles. Who has the tangible goods?
That's right.
Who owns the land and so forth. And here again, we can talk on and on. We see the Earth Summit. We see the great land masses, the wilderness lands, the natural resources of South America, Asia, of Siberia, Russia, and even here in the United States, being turned over to international organizations.
Yes, such
as this new World Conservation Bank that's controlled by the Rockefeller Rothschild interest. So they will control all of our natural resources and all of our lands. So they're ready for the great collapse, because they are the ones who will build their new world society on the very ashes, the ash heap of human existence.
That's correct. You know, one of the things that almost broke my heart was watching the Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro. And I saw these people who were gathered there ostensibly to save the trees and save the earth and save the natural resources and the animals and the birds and everything. And I saw on this immaculate wooden dais, which was huge, they had three high-backed wooden chairs sitting on the top of this dais. In these chairs sat the vice president, the man who's vice president of the United States right now, the Dalai Lama, and Whoopi Goldberg. And these three people sitting up on this immense dais made up of about 20 trees in these high-backed chairs, each made up of probably a quarter of a tree, telling the world what we had to do to save the earth. And I almost cried, because I knew, I could see that the audience and most of the people of the world were sitting there in rapt attention, as if these three people were God.
Yes, and of course, what we have there is a total betrayal of the native indigenous people.
That's true.
I mean, these folks don't care about the environment. But you will find, though, that the corporate polluters are the ones that are promoting the environmental movement. that's a very strange thing that's going on, when you find out that it's the Rockefellers and the others that are pushing the Earth Summit. You say, well, wait just a minute, how can this be? And it's, of course, very simple. There's a reason why Bill Clinton, for example, who was put in office by, as you know, Bill, by the Rockefeller interest.
That's correct.
Why Bill Clinton would be promoting so hard the NAFTA and saying, let's forget about the environmental problems down in Mexico. Of course they're going to be spoiling the earth. Who gives a big hoot about that? Let's make our billions and billions of bucks and drive the American worker down the tube.
Yeah, and where are all these green people? Where are all the environmentalists? Why aren't they down there looking at what's happening along the Mexican border? Why aren't they raising Cain about the women down there who are giving birth to babies with no brains because of the pollution and the chemicals that are in their food and in their water and in the air? I'll tell you, I've been down there, and it looks like there's been an atomic war fought on that border. It is absolutely terrible. And you can see miles and miles of huge factory buildings that have been built and are just waiting for American companies and other companies from other countries to move in and take them over.
No environmental standards down there.
None at all.
And they're going to have, of course, these diesel, smoke-belching, monstrous trucks. Driven by unlicensed, basically, Mexican drivers.
That's correct.
And that will be tooling across American freeways very soon, polluting our landscape. The thing about this is here is what the New World Order Society, here's what the groups do. I call them the Secret Brotherhood, or the Illuminati in my newest book, Dark Majesty.
Well, you're right on.
But Bill, here's what they're doing. First of all, they establish some of the largest environmental groups. And they send out in mass mailings, using millions of dollars of their money, of course. They send out mass mailings, and they recruit all of these environmental and ecological activists, and they say, join us. We're going to help clean up and save Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, they're going to direct the activities from the top. And it's just as Perot is doing. Perot has got this incredible organization, United We Stand. But many people are abandoning ship in the states and localities because they're saying, hey, he doesn't really want, Perot doesn't want our voice.
Perot is exactly like Grice, who is a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. They are Trojan horses, and they are leading people down the wrong road to ruin. And fortunately, many people are discovering this on their own. But there are many people who are not and will continue to be caught in this trap.
The thing is, if you're really concerned about the Earth, you feel helpless as an individual, so what do? You go join one of the Illuminati-sponsored organizations, hoping that in numbers you will have strength. If you're frustrated, as most Americans are, about the Republicans and the Democrats, if you know the Republican and the Democrat Party are both controlled by the financial interest, then you say, what else can I do? Well, along comes a Ross Perot who says, follow me, boys. And you jump in his bandwagon. And, of course, you don't realize that, possibly, he is also controlled. He's sort of a designated opponent of the Illuminati.
That's right.
And so you're right. The Trojan horse is a very cogent example of this. So people out there, they'll always ask me, and I know they do you, they say, what can we do? I think one of the things we're going to have is a grassroots movement.
That's correct. But it has to be each individual operating on their own. One of the things that I try to teach people on this show is that the human race must mature. We must do as we've been taught by our parents, in our moral values, by our religious teaching. We must begin to take these things seriously. And if each individual on this earth would just understand that we have the capacity to determine the truth for ourselves, we do not need leaders, and there will come a day when we do not need governments. And if we just would do one thing, wherever and whenever we see evil or bad or wrong or crime, turn away from it. Turn away from it. Don't participate in it. Don't condone it. Don't allow others to participate in it. Don't let people get away with it.
That's right.
And this we must do. We have to understand this, and we have to teach this to our children, and we have to teach our children how to determine the truth for themselves. One of the greatest fallacies of the human race is that we're always looking for someone to tell us what's right and what's wrong and what to do. And usually when we find that someone, they're telling us the wrong things that are right and the wrong things to do, and they usually lead us into divisions and we end up killing each other.
They do indeed. Now, of course, I feel very strongly that man left to his own devices without God's word is also totally without a compass.
Absolutely.
Now, the real problem is that many people will listen to the priests. And when I say priests, I don't necessarily mean only the Catholic Church. I'm talking about those in power. They will join a group, whether it's James Dobson or even the Tex Mars organization. And they will contribute, and they will say, I have a leader now. And it could be Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell. It could be Pope John Paul II. And here again, you're absolutely right, Bill. They're allowing a man-made organization to reveal truth to them and to tell them what direction to take. A lot of people now are listening to Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt Rush Limbaugh is one of the most entertaining and I think most talented men in America today. I give him tremendous credit. I listen to him quite a bit. It's great fun. Much of what he says is absolutely true, but keep in mind, he is a pimp for the Republican Party.
That's correct.
And so you're going to get one side. He has said, for example, that the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, and the PFR, oh, they're just social clubs. He's not going to expose them.
No.
You're not going to find out about the...
If he were to say the truth on the air about those, or any one of those three, or all three of those organizations, he would not be on the air the next day.
Absolutely. And people, I think Rush was wary that people were going to find out how he got his start. And so he himself, on a number of occasions, has sort of mentioned on his program, just sort of in passing, the fact that Phil Donahue is one of the biggest stockholders in his company.
Mm-hmm.
That's promoting the Rush Limbaugh program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Phil Donahue, as you know, is one of the biggest liberals around.
That's correct.
So, but Rush wasn't keeping that secret. He was very astute, and he just went ahead and let the cat out of the bag. And first, I'm sure he would claim, well, it's a money deal. You know, Phil is getting rich from me,
mm-hmm.
Being a stockholder of the company. The real point is...
Well, nobody can really fault Rush, because I've heard him say on at least three occasions that he's just an entertainer, that all he's doing is entertainment, and that you people take it too seriously. And I've heard him say on those same three occasions that if he thought he could make more money and have a bigger listening audience by changing to the liberal point of view, he would do it tomorrow.
Is that right?
Yes. So,
oh, something. So, I like a man with integrity that will just come right out and say that.
That's right. And when he says that, then it's no longer his fault. It is the fault of the listeners if they take him so seriously that they believe these things.
Well, you know, his father was a very wealthy lawyer, very wealthy attorney. So here again, you know, take everything. My whole point is that if people say, well, Tex, shouldn't we listen to Rush Limbaugh? You've got a real problem there. I believe, as you do, Bill, people are going to have to go to the Bible. They're going to have to throw out the human experts. And they're going to say, now, what, as you just mentioned, you know, I was recently seeing an ad, I think it was by the Conservative Book Club, and they were selling the old, is it called the McGuffey readers for kids?
Oh, the McGuffey readers, yeah.
McGuffey, okay. The McGuffey
readers. The McGuffey readers. I forget. It's one of those two. But
Well, these are the readers, you know, the same ones that used to be out, I mean, probably 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And generations of Americans that changed the world, many for the better. I mean, probably the last smart generation before the schools were dumbed down were reading readers like this, and they're selling these books. And I was thinking about that. Wouldn't it be very intelligent to go back to, let's say, the 1907 version of Encyclopedia Britannica?
Uh-huh.
See what the historians were telling us then, and see what they're telling us now about many things in the world. And again, whether it's in religion or science, economics, politics.
Well, we do that here. We found a quote by Daniel Webster where he said that there was a movement in this country to change the meanings of words in the dictionary.
Wow.
And so when he said that, we started going back and we found that everything after about, somewhere around 1828, the words begin to change. You will not find any mention of secret societies, the Illuminati, or anything in dictionaries now. But you go back to that time, and you find in those dictionaries that they knew all about these organizations. And they're all spelled out there under their real names, and tells you exactly what their goals are and everything. But it's been slowly eliminated. And the meaning of many different words have been changed. The meanings of an awful lot of history has been changed to where we don't really know what the true history of the world is if you're being taught by the methods used today. We found a textbook being used in the schools here in the state of Arizona which had over 560 mistakes in it. But we don't believe they were mistakes. We believe they were intentional.
Intentional.
It actually said in this textbook that Harry Truman solved the Korean problem with the use of an atomic weapon.
Wow. Well, you know, Bill, this is a scary thing because it makes you remember George Orwell's story in 1984 of the black holes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were the information holes and the information, the books, the articles, the materials they did not want people to know of from the past. They put in the black hole. I mean, it was.
And that's right.
They were just sucked away.
That's crazy.
And destroyed. And what was really fascinating about the book 1984 is that the main character, I believe his name was Winston, in the book, he only was able to maintain his sanity because there was one article, one piece of paper that he read at one time before he put it in a black hole and it was sucked down and totally obliterated for all of history.
Uh-huh.
But he remembered that in his mind. He said, no matter what Big Brother tells me, I will always remember that one page, that one piece of paper which refutes what Big Brother says. And this is what they went after. Then they decided to destroy Winston's mind because it was his very mind that had that one shred, that one vestige of information. And the controllers all around us, through various means of alchemy and the changing of history, the changing literally of encyclopedic references, as you've just so well stated, and dictionary words, the reinterpretation of history and of the language itself, the only thing that we have is our minds, and we must become determined, like Winston was. Unfortunately, Winston didn't end so well off, as you know. They were able to break him, but finally they killed the guy. They had to go ahead and just shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose after they had broken him, in case he went back in his mind, remembered that trace again, they finally ended up shooting Winston in the end.
Yeah.
But my point about this is to simply state that we must discipline our minds that we remember the old way.
That's correct.
You know, I read one time in the book, I think it was Khrushchev Remembers. Supposedly it was the memoirs. I believe it really was the memoirs smuggled out of Nikita Khrushchev, the former chairman of the Communist Party and premier there in the Soviet Union. But Khrushchev once stated, and I believe it was in that book, he said, I was asked at a party, meeting, why it was that it was so difficult to get the everyday common person throughout Russia and the Soviet Union to believe in communism. And his answer was this. He said, well, here in Russia, we have the babushka problem. He said, we've changed the textbooks, we've changed the dictionaries and encyclopedias to eliminate all references to the old system.
But the grandmothers are still telling the story.
That's right. He says the grandmothers, they come home from the schools where they've learned all about the wonders of communism. The grandmothers take them to their chest and say, it was better in the days before Lenin. It was better in the days before communism. And tell them all about the old ways. So Khrushchev said, we have a grandmother problem. And maybe, Bill, the solution is we need a bunch of grandmothers out there and grandfathers and parents who will tell people of the old ways.
Since we're out of time, I want to thank you for being our very special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call and get on the mailing list of Tex Mars for his newsletter, call 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. Once again, 1-800-234-9673. Out of country, you can write to Tex Mars at 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you.
Oh, God bless America. Land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies, through the ocean, white with foam, God.